This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki, bringing you one of the standout conversations recorded live at CES 2026 in the C-Space studio. These interviews feature some of the most compelling voices in media and marketing, exploring the trends shaping the future. You can find the full series on the CES YouTube channel, but we've selected this one just for you on the podcast feed. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the C-Space studio. You're here with me at CES 2026. I am James Kotecki, and I'm joined by the Viant Technology co-founders, Tim Vanderhook, CEO, Chris Vanderhook, COO. They are brothers, if you couldn't tell, and they are back with us. Thanks for joining us again here in the C-Space studio.
Thanks for having us. Great to see you, James.
Really appreciate it. What brings you to CES 2026, Tim?
We've got a new release of Viant AI, and we're here to show it off, and it's been a fantastic release and product available for our customers. The big important factor is where Viant AI, the original version, was a co-pilot, it would help humans get the job done.
Yeah.
Now, with the newest release, we launched a Lattice Brain, so it's got all these signals coming in as the input, and it's now making every decision for the human. So much more of an autopilot while you sit there and watch it drive versus co-pilot.
What is a lattice brain, Chris?
A lattice brain is essentially, think about a piece of lattice that you might put in your garden, or the way that looks.
It's like a lot, like wood. Like,
yeah, exactly. Wood lattice. Uh-huh. And basically it just signifies that there's multiple inputs coming in at the same time and you must make a decision in a second. Think about, you know, self-driving cars.
Yeah.
They have LiDAR, they have cameras, they have, you know, whatever happens on the street, it has to make a decision like a human would instantly. It can't call back to a data center, and there can't be latency. We need to make real-time decisions.
Yeah.
So that's really what the lattice brain is.
And so tell me about the human experience of using it then. Is it really just kind of, I'm sitting back and I'm watching things happen on the screen. Am I able to intervene if I want to? Like, tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Humans always in control. The AI can't run away with your money and do whatever it wants. So the supervision is always there. One thing that's very unique about Viant AI versus our competitors that offer products is ours is fully transparent. So you know every website you're at is going to show up on ahead of time. And if there's a problem with that website, you can intervene and say, I don't like that site. Mobile apps, websites, all the different locations we can place an ad. So humans are always in control of Viant AI, and it's just doing the rote work that no one really wants to do. Sure. Setting up a campaign, deciding which partners should be on it. It takes all that decision making and does it in a blink of an eye.
Where do you find that humans are still best to be involved? Because I imagine there's some things where the human might second guess the machine and they shouldn't have done that. Like, it was better to leave it for the machine to make that decision. But where are humans still best operating?
Definitely humans have context that an AI does not.
Yeah.
Right. They have all the context. They understand, you know, the strategy. They understand conversations that are happening in the office. They know those. What an AI knows really well is this is much of this that Viant AI does is essentially a math problem. And it's doing computation at a speed that humans really don't want to do. And they can't because they got to go to sleep. They got to use the restroom. We got to eat. All those things. So we really see that it's elevating the humans, you know, from doing this rote work, allowing them to be more strategic, more creative, focus on the business results, as opposed to, you know, pulling levers in these DSPs and managing ad campaigns, you know, very tediously.
This is a question to either of you. Do you see it continuing to evolve? Because this is great messaging, and I respect it and I believe it for now. But I just wonder, based on where AI goes, are there more and more things that it is able to do that even if the human wanted to do, it's just going to do it better? Like, is that the path that we're on ultimately?
I think yes, for many things, but not all things in life.
Yeah.
So if it's like driving is a great example. I prefer Tesla full self-driving. Now that it's really working well.
Yeah.
5 years ago, it was not great. It was, you know, cruise control at best.
Yeah.
So I do think many things, tasks, will be replaced with AI, but that doesn't mean humans are out of a job. Humans are best at critical thinking and problem solving. When we talk about the word strategic, that's really where humans excel.
Yeah. Do you think parts of AI have been overhyped, underhyped? Where do you see the hype cycle right now?
I think the hype is real, if you ask me. So I would say nothing's been overhyped. We're probably underhyping the long-term impact of AI.
Because this is an interesting messaging thing too, right? So if I've been having these conversations for years here in the C-Space studio,
yeah.
I've seen the up and down of excitement about it. And I don't want to, I mean, people are more concerned about it now. There's people that are like, no, we really want these things to be human and we're always going to mandate that they be human because people are concerned about hallucinations, et cetera. What do you think about that?
I see the problems that a lot of LLMs have, and I think I agree with Tim. I don't think we totally understand the impact of AI. I think that some people aren't seeing it through the right lens. A lot of people are just focused like on job replacement, and I really do believe that there will be a large elevation of people and companies that I think is way underhyped. I don't think that we have seen AI being integrated into companies to actually help them work better, and then that to then deliver better consumer experiences. I think we're not even in a first inning.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is essentially what people's interactions with AI is of some sort, or that application. And I just think we have no idea like how cool the future applications are going to be. But you know what? ChatGPT is not great at math. Overhyped.
Okay.
How about that? There we go.
It seems like the best examples I've seen are when AI meets still a very skilled, very judiciously operating, you know, human.
Yes.
That can actually have great taste and make good decisions, put it together. And then there are things, even from a creative perspective, where I'm like, wow, I actually am enjoying this thing unironically, without the fact that I know the novelty of AI, but I just like this thing that was created, even if I know that AI was a part of it, because clearly a human was behind it making a lot of these decisions.
Yes, absolutely. The human always provides the expertise for the AI to learn from, but then once it has that context, we call it, the AI can actually do it over and over and over again and make a similar decision to the human that helped create it.
How advanced is generative AI for you right now, and how much better do you think it's going to get?
It's very advanced internally. We use generative AI both internally, externally. It's all across the board. Generative AI is only going to keep getting better. Right now, we're talking about ChatGPT and text, but the audio, the visuals, music, if you've ever played with Suno AI, it's incredible.
Yeah.
We just made a song with it for our Lattice Brain launch, Chris and I. Created the lyrics, posted it to Suno.
Love it.
And the song is phenomenal. The production quality or the consumer experience, you can't believe this was created by us who have zero musical talents. We wrote really good lyrics.
Okay.
That was the benefit. But from there, it's just been incredible, and it's going to keep blowing our minds.
How about CTV? Is that blowing your mind right now, Chris?
CTV has so many tailwinds that we're excited about. Of course, there's a consumer shift that's, you know, been well underway. There's still another, you know, $60+ billion in linear television that's moving into streaming. A lot of that has been held up by live sports, but we're seeing live sports, you know, now, you know, going almost exclusively into streaming. I think that's very great for marketers. They have always loved television. It's always been about half of a large marketer's budget. But they love on CTV, they love that it's addressable. They can actually measure it. They know, you know, which programs and which investments are working, which ones aren't.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it drive a lot of value for our customers in terms of their business results. At the end of the day, we're in the business of our customers' business. We have to get our customers must be successful. We have to drive Wall Street numbers for our customers, not just advertising campaign numbers. And CTV is a big part of that. We know how valuable that channel is to them. So very excited about many things in CTV.
Just to add to that, CTV for Viant is the fastest growing channel. It's the biggest channel in our platform. And we made a great acquisition last year of a company called Iris TV. So now, most people don't know this, but when you buy CTV, you get to know the app name, like Paramount Plus, but you don't get to know the show name. That's very different than when you buy linear TV. I can put my ad on the Masters Golf Tournament or on CBS. So we acquired Iris TV to bring that same level of intelligence into streaming, where you get to know the show and now, more importantly, the scene that's happening on the TV, which gives you an idea of the emotional state of that room right before your ad runs.
I want to talk to you about your philosophy around walled gardens and places where, you know, people want to keep the AI and the data kind of walled off, and versus having kind of a broader picture of the whole industry. I suppose that's kind of a leading question because I think I know where you're going with it. But tell me about your philosophy and how you see the industry, maybe where you see yourselves as different.
Yeah, we view the future is the open web, not walled gardens. We are there to power the open web, independent content owners and CTV, independent publishers and the traditional web. We want to help power and monetize their users that they have and make sure that they're getting the ad revenue that's there. Walled gardens are great, but they keep all the money, all the profits, and no one grows but Google, but Amazon, but Apple. So you've got these, or Meta, you've got these problems out there of content owners and publishers. Where's the ad revenue for them to continue to have their voice heard? And this is what the open web is all about, that anyone can contribute their voice. And if lots of people follow it, you should get the spoils of that ad revenue and have growth too.
Okay, lightning round, last question. One word each, only one word to define 2026. Chris.
This is gonna be lame. Exciting. You said one word.
There's nothing lame about being excited. We want to be excited.
I was thinking of a better one, but
we want to be excited
about it. We are.
My one word for 2026 is autonomy. Yeah. This is where AI is at. It's all about having AI do more and more, less human involvement, more AI involvement of it taking the reins and driving the wheel.
Tim and Chris Vanderhook of Viant Technology, thank you so much for joining me in the C-Space studio today. Autonomous excitement is coming, and we're very excited that you could both share it.
There we go.
Thank you, James.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation from CES 2026. I know I did. That's our show for now, but there's always more tech to talk about. So make sure you stay tuned for more insights, conversations, and content from CES 2026 and beyond. Please follow, subscribe, like, comment, whatever else you need to do to keep those algorithms happy. You can get even more CES at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our C-Space studio episodes are produced by Nicole Vitovich, Julia Ruxer, and Paige Morris, and recorded by Phelps Creative House, and edited by Phelps Creative House, too. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.